Blog Talk Radio.
It's not starting there.
Who's all going to say that as well? All those stupid machines that measure
your influence and say you're a big shot, they'll say, hey, recruiting animal, look at the ratio of followers to unfollowed. He's a big man. I come at the top of every list. Now, I'm going to say, or you might ask, aren't some people going to get insulted? Yes! Yes, they will. There's a guy named Shane Mack. He's a veteran of this show. He's a social media professional. He doesn't follow anybody. He's got everybody in lists, Twitter lists. He doesn't use bookmarks. He's got Twitter lists. And, you know, people get pissed off at him. But he doesn't care, and it doesn't hurt him. And you might want to do that, too. Now, Jerry, now's your time. Can you tell us what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Those buttons aren't pressing properly. The buttons aren't pressing, and I'm paying them $40 a month. Stupid buttons won't press. At the beginning, I had to say, hey, it's not working, and there was a delay when I started my music. That doesn't sound professional. Kirby,
nope.
Kirby Call, are you here? Oh,
Casey.
You know what, Jerry? Jerry,
Casey,
it might be good if I open the mics before
open
I start
up.
Out to people if they're
Let's
here.
See
Hold
who's
on
out
one
there.
Sec. I should have been doing that while you were talking.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been off the air for 2 weeks and I forgot all my DJ skills.
Cobwebs.
Not that I ever had any. Kirby Cole, are you here? Speak up.
Yes, sir. I'm here, man.
Good. You can call me sir if you want. I used to say to people, don't call me sir. You want to call me sir? That's fine with me. I'm sir to you if you want, okay? Now,
you got
Kirby,
it.
Kirby, just listen to me. I don't want to be rude, but I want you to stand aside for a minute because we've got a big shot on this show for the breaking news section. Before you come on, someone who's very important, okay?
Yes.
Might take 10 minutes. Art Pappas, are you here?
Hey.
Yeah, are you a big shot? Do you qualify? Are you a big shot?
I'm not. I was not aware of that. No.
Jerry,
no,
is he a big
no.
shot? Anybody? Is Art Pappas a big shot?
Who is it?
Absolutely a big shot. He's a big
okay.
shot.
Okay.
I like to say that I'm a big deal, but that's
okay.
That,
all right, dude. I didn't say you're interesting.
A big shot.
I didn't say you're interesting. You let me guide you, okay? Okay. Now look. Now before we start, I want to ask both of you something. Actually, to tell you the
I've
truth.
I've got a quick question, though. Are you doing two guests at the same time?
I don't really want to. I'm going to do Art first. I'm going to ask Art because Art's only going to be on for about 10 minutes. He can stay the whole show, but his portion. But I
so this isn't an actual three-way then. It's like a one guy
you know
then the next.
I was definitely not told about it.
Before we get going, I'm going to put this open to anybody, anybody on the line. Have you joined the Career Pros Rapid Response Emergency Task Force for hurricane relief? Art, have you joined?
Not.
Kirby?
Just heard about it.
Kirby, have you joined?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
Anybody else online joined besides me?
I stand ready to join at a moment's notice.
I gotta tell you, that is the most fantastic thing. Great idea. I only wish if I'd come up for it because, you know, it sounds important. I'll bet you can get on TV for the Career Pros Rapid Response Emergency Task Force for Hurricane Relief, but you don't have to do anything ever because there's nothing a resume writer can do when there's a big rainstorm. What are they going to do? The paper's going to get wet. It's ridiculous, but it's great. It's great. It's so ridiculous. It's fantastic. But I know that Kirby, I don't know about Art, if he's a nice guy, but Kirby, you know, wrote an article about being humane and stuff like that. You might want to look into that. Now, Kirby, let me ask Kirby a question before Art. I'm sorry. I said we're going to talk to you, but I got to talk to him first. Is your boss on this show? Did she call in?
I do not know.
Is she listening right now?
Probably.
You know, I got a concern about that because, you know, these people, they talk big before they come on the show, and then they choke. And I'm worried, Kirby, that you're going to be boring because you're going to be afraid of what she's going to say to you afterwards. She should have the guts, if she's going to listen, to come up front and be on the show so we can challenge her. so she's humbled, so she's not such a big shot herself, and then fires you after just because you're on the Recruiting Animals show. I don't like that hanging over your head while you're talking to me. So you tell her if she's there in the office with you, get on the phone, okay?
She knows I have a pretty decent opinion, and
you know what?
Me.
I can tell from the way you're talking, you're choking, you're 2 miles.
You're
kind of
freaking already.
Okay, listen.
Suck it up, Kirby.
We've seen that before.
Art, you're a little older than Kirby. I got to ask you, have you ever had acid reflux? Jerry?
I'm sorry. I'm just deciding whether I should follow Kirby or not on Twitter.
I gotta tell you, I never had it until about a week ago. It's awful. I never thought I would get it. It's just terrible. It's like heartburn
not
all
fun.
The time. I've got it now.
Did you
I've
go
never
to the doctor? Because that's what I did when the first time I got it. I was convinced I was having major problems with the doctor. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He gave me the name GERD, G-E-R-D, and told me to look it up on the internet. That's how much time they spend with you today. So I did, and I looked
in
up
the Canadian healthcare system, they send you home with some Google search strings. Very nice.
Yeah, we keep in search of the doctor.
We'll have that here in a couple of years. I can't wait.
Okay, just now that Art's confessed, what should I do? I saw people online talking about, you know, apple cider vinegar with baking soda.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the tiger claw stuff? You got to get that.
No, what's good?
That's where it's
what
at.
Works?
If you take tiger claw, that's going to
Yeah,
that's
okay,
gonna
it's
help.
Too expensive for me. You know what? I was going to sing a song because I got a note from Rayanne through recruitingblogs.com just before the show, and I was going to sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" and have you guys join me, but I don't think we have time for that. Okay,
yeah,
Art,
I think that song's before my time.
You might know. Do you know the national anthem? That was written before you were born, wasn't it? Don't give me that crap. Okay, Art.
Yes.
We're losing the audience. I accept blame for that. Now, we're going to talk about startups. I read a bunch of articles over the last few weeks. One was from Business Insider. It's called this past summer, The Summer of the Startup. Bloomberg Business Week says the tech boom is fueling a surge in jobs and creative recruiting. The Austin Business Journal says that hiring at VC-backed startups has doubled. The Wall Street Journal named Nashville, where H.R. Margo is now, as the hotspot for startups. But then I read an article in Inc. magazine, and it said startups are starting smaller, they're surviving less often, and they're creating fewer jobs even when they thrive. And you told me they're really not good for hiring unemployed people. So I thought you just might comment on the situation with startups. Maybe you know something we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely...
Can you hear that, Art? Somebody's doing business
in the
Kirby.
Background.
That's
Kirby. No.
Well, here.
It's the Curbster.
Okay,
the
Curbster. So go ahead.
Now, Animal, just to clarify, are you saying that Art said he is against startup companies hiring unemployed people?
No. Art, you take over. Go ahead, Art.
Yeah,
your turn.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an explosion of startups, and in the VC community, the valuations are just out of control. I mean, Dropbox, which is somewhere around like a $50 million company, just got a $5 billion valuation. Airbnb, which is like, I don't know, maybe a $50 million company got a $1 billion valuation. So there's just this frenzy to you know, fund anything with social in it. And so there's tons of VC money flowing. And the thing is, though,
people that are our guests, you know, people listening, they might not be up to date on everything. VC is a venture capitalist, and they're putting money into new businesses, right?
That's right.
That's what
and
we mean. Okay, go ahead.
The problem these guys have is that it's really inexpensive to start a startup now. You can start a technology startup with two guys and an idea, and you don't need huge development teams like you used to need back in the early days of the internet boom. And so they're funding lots and lots of startups, which is probably creating jobs for the founders of these startups. But there's not that much of a talent supply, first of all, for skilled labor, like Mongo developers and Ruby Rails developers and Python developers.
Now, let me ask why that is. You know, you get all these geniuses from Gen Y bragging about how they've got, you know, they're all IT savvy and they're so well educated, and there's a huge gap in demand for IT people and supply. Why is that when we got all these Gen Y guys coming out of school?
Because they didn't learn right.
Who's saying that, Al Fleur?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm asking Art. Sorry, Al. We'll come back to you.
No, you need to listen to Al because he is a plethora of
information. Thanks. You're my boss
what?
Now.
I think
Art,
we have a guest.
Art.
Guest.
Art.
Go to the guest.
Let Art talk.
Art, can we call
Al?
What's
the story with Gen Y and the lack of talent?
Well, computer science courses are not teaching the latest technologies. They're teaching technologies from like 5-10 years ago.
Reach out.
Yeah, they're teaching .NET.
Yeah, they're teaching old stuff, and so Al's got it. It's definitely a skill gap. But the other thing is that, and the thing that I was commenting on that you jumped on, Animal, is that they don't actually create jobs. What they do is they take employees from other startups, or they take employees from bigger companies and hire them. Like right now, I have a friend here in Boston, the CTO of a company. Locally here, he's put out a $1,000 bounty for every year of experience you have working as a developer in a big company. So if you've been at Fidelity Investments as a developer for 15 years, you get a $15,000 signing bonus for leaving Fidelity and joining his company as a developer. So these guys aren't saying, give me your unemployed worker who's got COBOL skills or who can't program and I'll teach. Not the startup community does not do that.
This is a bizarre notion. There's supply and demand. When there's a demand for X number of jobs, there's a demand for X number of jobs. That's people who are employed who otherwise wouldn't be. Just because they're getting them when they're previously employed, that means that the other company is going to have to hire somebody who...
It's a trickle-down. Yeah, you have to apply the trickle-down, right?
There's a supply and a demand just like everything else, and the idea that a job created by a startup is not the same as a job created by any other company is a very bizarre one.
Well, you know what, Dave? First of all, Al Fleur, do you want to say something? I pushed you to the side. Now's your chance.
I think Art makes a good point. What colleges aren't doing is they're not doing a complete program. What they need to do is they do actually need to go back a little bit and teach the C and C++, because if you think about it, if you think about a technologist as a house builder, the C++ guys can build the house, put in the plumbing, do the electrical, or maybe the Ruby on Rails and the Java guys can only do the plumbing or only do the electrical. You need that wisdom in the background. Then take them through the Ruby and the current technologies.
That's not working. He just said that's not working.
Isn't so much that the people aren't teaching the right skills. It's that the vast majority of the students in the system are liberal arts majors, which basically get taught basket weaving,
journalism,
and in the actual economy.
Okay, but Dave
Manister,
that's
highly
Dave
technical
Man-
skills.
That's Dave Manister, the kingfish of VRE, everybody, just so you know who's making all that noise there. But these guys are promoting themselves as the biggest IT geniuses in history, aren't they? All these guys coming out of university, 20 years old, 21 years old, they say, we know way more than anybody else. And you're saying they don't.
They don't know how
you're
to
saying
be
they're
a
taking
human
basket
being.
You also need to get them into colleges or also when they do pie in the sky, and they don't put them into real internships, real projects. When they do that during their college careers, they really help jumpstart them
This is not a vocational show, but the point being made by you, Al, and everybody else is that Gen Y is full of baloney. They're not what they claim to be. Now, I want to say something what Art said. I'm going to defend Art against Dave Manister, my good friend Dave Manister. Dave said that, okay, so if company A hires an employed person, company B, where they took them from, still has to find someone. So there's a trickle down. I think Jerry said that. But in fact,
I did not say that. I didn't comment on any of that.
Okay. In the articles I read, it said these companies, the startups and all the technology companies, which are going, you know, out of the way, just like he described that signing bonus, to hire people, they absolutely do not want people who are unemployed. They never hire the unemployed. They don't want to retrain anybody.
That's
they
right.
only want people who are doing the exact same thing. And not only that, it said when the project changes, they don't retrain them in-house. They get rid of them and hire somebody else.
Hey, guys, I worked for a startup company, very fast-paced, and that's 100% true. We would, if we saw resumes, I was instructed, basically, if they weren't working, that we weren't talking to them unless they were, like, out of work for 6 months because of their non-competes and were making money sitting on their asses. So
is this Kirby the guest?
Totally true. Yeah, this is Kirby the guest.
I run a startup company, and half my crew I hired straight out of college.
Which is
that's Dave Manister.
We okay, hired straight out of college.
Yeah,
not a tech company.
College,
you're hiring.
Yeah, unemployed is different than
sure.
straight out of college, right? So
yes.
you don't want to train people. I had to train every single one of the people who came out of college and joined the company. For
did you hire them to be your database developers, or are they working on the front end of your website? There's a huge difference there.
They're not developers. They are working across the board in all different areas of the company.
See, that's
so
what we're
talking
about.
From a startup
that's
perspective,
not what we're
though.
Talking about. Okay.
So,
we're talking about the techies.
I think broadly speaking, though, the real challenge is, you know, these startups are getting funded. There's new jobs, but there's really not an opportunity there, even if you say, okay, it's going to trickle down. When a startup hires somebody, they're not creating necessarily an opportunity downstream even for the guy who was working, you know, the United Auto Workers guy who's unemployed and who actually is sitting on the sidelines not spending money in the economy right now. So I think startups are – I love startups. I've been in startups all my life, and I love the technology sector. But I feel like there's just not a heck of a lot that sector does to actually create jobs.
Again, it's a very weird notion that you think that when someone hires a technologist that a UAW member is coming off of unemployment. When I hire a nurse in a hospital, a UAW member doesn't come off of unemployment either, but that doesn't mean there's no demand. It's such a weird concept.
Yeah,
okay.
Job plus one is
okay.
Job plus one. You've added one. To
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I think we
market.
Beat this down. No, this is not an employment. I just was curious about that. Art, anything you think we should add to that?
No, I think we covered the waterfront.
Okay.
I'd like
that,
to add something, though. Animal, I'd like to just
go ahead.
Add something. The notion that these startups or technology companies won't hire someone that's not working right now, I believe is absolutely false.
Agreed.
I happen to agree with Jerry. I hope everybody's sitting down.
they certainly do, but it's more the case that if you are a Ruby on Rails developer or JavaScript or a lot of these newer technologies, you just simply haven't been out of work for the last year because the demand is so high.
Right.
But if a client of mine needs a JavaScript developer and I have someone who, for whatever reason, was let go 6 months ago, maybe they couldn't find a job in the middle of the rural community that they were in, for whatever reason, that company most certainly will take a look at them. Absolutely. And it would be absurd for them
do.
To not. What's that?
And Mike A. Stringer agrees with Jerry, right? Is that what happened there?
Yep.
I do 100%, and you know what? A talented Ruby on Rails developer is not going to be out of work, so it's almost a non-issue.
Yeah, it's a
good
point.
Ruby on Rails
yeah.
is no longer a leading technology.
Yes, Grails now. Grails
but,
and Mongo.
But they're still not having as an example.
I'll give you a great example. Visual Basic during the dot-coms until the dot-coms went bust, and then all the junior VB guys were out of work.
Right.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Right. But, like, right now, a VB person who's out of work would be out of work because there's no need for his skill set, more
true.
So than there's no than they don't want to hire somebody who's been out of work.
Okay.
And don't confuse the two. It's a big difference.
And a good technologist keeps up to date with the technologies as they change.
Correct.
It's silly to think that a top-level technologist, or even a decent-level technologist, would have stuck with the skill that was hot in 2000 and 10 years later.
Somebody said earlier that it's the C and C++ people and that the training there is what we need to focus on. The best developers we hired didn't know PHP or Java, but they had the fundamentals of C and C++ cold, and they came in and picked up those languages in a heartbeat, but they knew the fundamentals of true development, and they were the best developers we ever hired.
Thank you.
That's Al Fleur. You agreed with Al Fleur. Art Pappas. Okay. Now, I didn't want to, you know, give your background until you had your moment in the sun to see if you actually wanted people to know who you are. Do you want to introduce yourself before I let you go?
Yeah, sure. I'm the founder and CEO of Bullhorn.
The big shot. I told you.
Yeah.
Big shot.
Big
what's
shot.
Bill
hey, let me say hello to Let me say
Art,
hello to Art.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I just want to say hello to Art as a Broadbean representative. We are proud partners of
Bullhorn
and very happy to know them and be partnered with them. Hey, Art.
Great.
Yeah, we love Broadbean.
Hey,
you guys
hey,
are great.
Art, I worked – this is Kirby again. I worked with the send-out guys a little bit when I was in St. Louis.
Yeah, good company. Yeah,
they made some changes.
Good guys.
And, yeah.
Is this where we all find our connection to Art?
Yeah.
Art, I've seen your
this
ads
is,
and stuff out there. And
Art. I didn't imagine everyone would start fawning over him.
Art.
He's a big deal, remember?
I'm a big deal. Kathy from Arbita, and I know that Charlie is a huge fan of Bullhorn. We use it quite a bit. So,
oh, cool.
Great product.
I've actually never spoken to Shally here. He's a big deal. He's actually a big deal.
Though he was recently endorsing Empire Avenue, much to his demise.
Hello.
Take that with a grain of salt.
Is that
not
a cult?
The smartest
I feel
move.
Like that's a cult. Like Empire Avenue feels
exactly.
very cultish to me.
Exactly.
Whoever owns it needs to sell it for whatever they can get out of it right now.
Okay, let me
now.
Take control again.
The biggest bunch I've ever seen
Art
in my
Pappas.
Life.
Art Pappas. Thank you for coming on, but I'll throw a little cold water on all this praise. I was reading recruitingblogs.com yesterday, and there was someone from your company there. She started off telling an interesting story. She wrote an article, an interesting story about how outsourcers just take your resume and send it out to 10,000 different companies that they identify by shallow, simple keywords that really aren't appropriate for you. And then halfway through the article, she stopped developing that idea entirely and switched to a simple ad for Bullhorn. That is not good social media. And I
not
told
good.
Her in the comments,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And you put her in her place because she's not doing you a favor with that. That's my comment.
Very well
okay?
intentioned. Very well intentioned, but I got you on that, yeah.
Okay. Now you're welcome to stay here. You go ahead.
Yeah, I saw that too, and it was a little transparent, but you know that's
transparent. She hit me with a hammer, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta give Kirby a chance. It's like 20-30 minutes into
Kirby,
the show.
Kirby.
Kirby, it's your time.
Do
Art,
this.
You're welcome to stay on board. You can sign off. Up to you. Shally is going to be a guest, in part, thanks to Kathy Manis, C-1, in a couple of weeks. I was only going to have him on for part of the show, but now she's wedged him into the whole show. So you're welcome to call in then and talk to him. You can meet him on my show. Now, Kirby.
Would love to do that.
Art.
Hey, thanks, Animal. I'm going to jump. Because I got at 12:30, but I really appreciate you having me on. All right, thanks, guys. Really, really great talking to you. All right, guys. Thanks.
Okay. Everybody, bullhorn.com just left. Now, Kirby Cole on. Now, Art Pappas is ARTPAPAS if you want to follow him on Twitter. This guy I'm bringing on now, I'm sorry it's so late, is Kirby Cole. KIRBYCOLE at Kirby Cole. Look, you just got to meet a big shot in the industry.
He's
because
a big deal.
Coming on this show, okay? So you can say, I'm Kirby. You remember me? I was on the Recruiting Animal Show with you. Okay. Now, anyway, Kirby, I don't know if you want to introduce yourself entirely, but you know, because your boss is listening, but you have a master's degree in human resource development. Is that true?
I do.
Okay. And you were a third-party agency recruiter. Is that true?
Yes.
And you left
good
it
at
to
it.
Become a... Yeah, that's the thing. I don't understand. That was my next question. Common wisdom says if you leave recruiting, it's because you didn't make any money. You were not good at it, but in fact, you became a corporate recruiter, and you boast on your blog that you were better than your competition. Is that so?
Yes.
So why would you make that move?
For me, it was about doing more than just the third-party recruit and wait. I really wanted to be part of an impact on a company from the inside, see really what was ticking, see what was going on, and maybe do some more besides just the recruitment piece, so doing other things in HR.
Okay, so you've got strategic HR management goals. Is that right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so like, how much money did you see yourself potentially as a mature recruiter earning a year? Give me an example. Did you have any ideas?
Sure. My last year.
You don't
year
have to tell me what you were earning. You were junior. Or how many years were you in it?
I was in it for 3 or 4 years, and I was right at.
Still there, Kirby?
It's the landline thing.
Landlines aren't any good now, right?
They're not.
They're not.
Nobody's using them anymore.
No, they're way overrated.
Except me.
So right about 6 years is where I was when I got done. And I think definitely potential to keep going up, obviously. But at that time, I was working for
other companies. Don't drag it out. You could have said 100,000, 200,000. Just be to the point on this show. You want to be interesting? Don't blab. Go ahead.
Okay, six figures.
Six figures. What's that, 100,000, 200,000?
Yeah, when I left, yeah, so after about 4 years in the business.
Okay, so, yeah, you could have made, let's say, 200,000, maybe, if you would have got, you know, more experience.
Sounds like you plateaued.
You can't earn that kind of money in HR, can you?
I am.
Oh, okay. Okay, so anyway, now the reason, here's another thing. You said the reason that you were better than your competition as a third-party agency recruiter is because you cared about the people. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, and you said on the posting you published today, I can remember placing a guy who had been out of work for 2 years. I can remember his wife crying when I called to give her the good news. I can remember the pride on his face when we walked with him to his first day of work. If this guy was placeable, how come he didn't have a job in the last 2 years till it took for you to find him one?
Because he was an AS400 programmer.
Hey, I need two of them right now.
He was in St. Louis and wasn't moving. So.
Yeah.
And how did you get him a job where he couldn't find one himself, even though presumably he knew the industry?
I just happened to have the right client at the right time and worked it out on both ends and made it happen.
It was a fluke? Is that what you're saying?
No, it was a good connection.
Kirby,
yeah,
I need two of those guys right now, today.
Yeah?
AS400 guys. Yeah, and I'll – 2 years is kind of a stretch, but I'll do the old-timers that haven't been able to get a foothold in today's economy. Michigan.
You talk to him after the show, Jerry.
Yep.
Talk to him after the show, okay?
Talking to him right now. I'm on the line with him right now. The AS400 topic came up.
What?
Okay, Kirby, you listen to me, not Jerry. I'll mute Jerry if I have to, okay? The show's boring enough as it is. Okay? Kirby!
Oh, God.
Yes.
Mapix is a plus on that.
Yes, I can't see you. Look at me. Look at me, Kirby. Now, you started an unemployed group, am I right?
No, I didn't start one. I started going to one here that was already established.
Oh, okay. So you weren't the leader or anything like that?
Nah, no.
Okay, but the members – you made a point of saying that the members of this group are really good at whatever it was they were doing before they were unemployed. Is that true? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Then why don't they have jobs?
What they were doing isn't in demand anymore.
Okay, it's that simple, right? But then you advise recruiters that you have the power to champion these people and get them jobs. You say take a chance on a resume you might normally have passed over.
Definitely.
How can we find someone a job when they can't find it themselves and they know their business and they're unemployed because there's no demand for people like them?
That's your job, right? I mean, that's...
No, it isn't my job. No, I'm not a social worker. I'm not a social worker. They're not paying me. The government's not paying me.
Then why did you join the resume task force?
Because it's phony. I don't have to do anything. They're never going to need me in a hurricane.
Oh, man.
Oh, so you...
Let's hope there isn't a disaster.
Right. Sure. And they call on you, and you're not ready to slide down the old fire pole. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
they're going to be counting on you.
There could be a nuclear disaster,
yeah,
and they still would need me,
animal.
Okay? Come figure
that
it out.
Awful.
But I'm talking to Kirby. Look, his time's almost gone, and he hasn't even had a chance to warm up yet. Kirby, tell me why you think recruiters can take these people who can't find themselves jobs and help them. I don't understand it. I would like to help them. I don't know. How can we?
Well, I think that we as recruiters know more about the recruiting industry than the unemployed or even employed person looking for jobs. We know how to make connections better. We know where to look better. That's what we do. You know, we are paid, regardless of social workers or recruiters, we are paid to connect people with jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so by being able to look at a resume that one day you think, I'm not even going to bother with this, and saying, well, maybe I could ask a question and make something happen, that's the way that you can do it.
And that's how you did it for this. Go ahead, Al.
I'm sorry. Ask a question of who, Kirby? Because here's the thing. That guy, that person, no offense, that guy's not paying me. My client's paying me. Now, are you saying that, so work us through this here. I understand where you're going, and I have a suggestion, but I want to hear your, take me through this. You've got a group of people that are unemployed. Go from there.
So group of people that are unemployed who have skills that are close or comparable, passionate, and some of the other things that you look for, right?
Yes.
And this is exactly what we did. We said, hey, we got a guy. He's AS400 programmer. He's been out of work for 2 years. Here's his bio. Here's his write up. Would you take a chance on a guy like this? And they said yes.
Have I mentioned that I'm looking for two AS400 guys,
Western
Southwest Michigan?
And I know lots of these guys. So let's split some.
They need to be
this.
Kind of regional, though. I mean, I don't need somebody from San Antonio or Boise.
No,
hey,
I'm from
Jerry,
St. Louis originally. I got lots of guys
okay.
in St. Louis.
Shut up!
Lots
you know, Kirby, I'm
going to
be follower number 1799 for you right
let's
now.
Let's do it.
Give him your phone number right now. And give him your phone number and stop talking about this stuff. I'm not kidding. You're wrecking my show.
Wrecking your show. First
yeah,
class of our
okay,
show.
Okay, stop it. Stop
There's
it.
There's like eight
hey,
jobs
look,
in St. Louis.
Kirby, I'm the boss here. You listen to me, not him, okay? You
yes,
want to
sir.
Talk to him on his after show? That's fine with me. Now, look, Kirby, you know what? Give me another example. Tell us the details. Answer Alan's question. You find this guy who's an AS400 guy. There's nobody looking for people like that. How do you find them a job?
Like I said, we have a client that was an AS400 shop, and we reached out to them and said, hey, look, we've got this guy. And told him a little bit about him and said, would you be interested in a conversation? We set the conversation up. They liked him. He came in, met with him, and they decided
okay,
to
take a
chance on
him. Okay, first of all, let me tell you something. Reach out. Reach out is not a word.
Oh, yeah, you hate that. I was warned
that's
about
that. That's a bad phrase. Hey, who's making that noise? Is that Jerry?
But, Kirby, what's any different than what you just said you did with somebody that's unemployed than what we do with, a CC++ person when Animal's got a client that's looking for a Java person? We're simply asking and building the relationship with the client to say, be a little bit more open-minded. It's the same thing.
I think that's basically what I'm saying we did.
Okay.
Okay, look, last question on this. How come that guy, you know, if he's in that business, couldn't he get a directory of shops that do that kind of stuff? And contact him himself. I mean, really, didn't he blow it?
Said he wouldn't be unemployed, Animal.
Huh?
It's not his job. His job isn't to search jobs. His job is to program.
Yes, it is. He's been
Animal,
for 2 years.
Do you understand the mindset of software and computer developers? They are not going to pick up a list of companies and calling around and introduce themselves. Do you even know what you're talking about?
Okay, I'll drop that. Now, listen, Kirby,
call on the show so far.
Kirby, we're getting to your big topic, an insider's opinion on corporate and agency recruiter relationships. It sounds like a white paper,
mm-hmm.
An insider's opinion on corporate and agency recruiter relationships. And
my
you
first
say,
blog post ever.
Well, congratulations. When you say, what I have learned in making the switch from agency recruiting to corporate recruiting has been astonishing, and it casts doubt on the value I was actually able to provide to clients when I was an agency recruiter. I said, this is a controversial posting, and that's why I want you to come on the show. And you said, I don't see anything controversial about that. Do you want to explain where you were going wrong as an agency recruiter, how you were not providing value? Not the myths. You got four myths. That's a hard word to say. We got four fantasies that corporate recruiters have. We're going to get to them. But I want to know how you weren't providing value when you thought you were.
Do you want a drum roll, Animal?
and I don't want any noises in the background. Okay,
I can,
Kirby.
Sure. Ready?
Yeah.
When I my very first day, I was given a list of jobs, and I was given Monster.com, and I that's not me. And
go
I gave
ahead,
you
I know
re-
it's
Gary.
Not.
Gary gave
jerk.
You a drum roll.
I love it.
Go ahead, please.
It was a little slow.
We
go ahead, please.
I worked for a shop that was a find a resume and flip it, and there's a lot of folks out there that do that. And that's where I learned how to find
resumes.
What does
that mean, find a resume and flip it? What does that mean?
I would find a resume on Monster.com, talk to the person for 10 minutes, give it to the account manager, and the account manager would send it over to the hiring manager.
Uh-huh.
So
is that
you're really
bad?
Going to third-party recruiter.
Oh, wait a second, Alan.
That
is that
the,
bad?
That was the model that I was
is that
I
bad?
First learned
in. Is it bad? Is it bad?
Well, who uses job boards anymore?
I'm talking! Is it bad?
It was
Could
a waste
be.
Of their time, yeah.
Why? Why?
Because 90% of the candidates that I found my first day weren't any good.
Okay, that was your first day. What about after 2 or 3 months? What were you doing? You were still an agency recruiter after a year. Were you still wasting people's time?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh,
and
sometimes. What's
people,
that, 1%? 1%?
I've seen lots of
you're
people waste
lying.
My time.
I have to
I've
tell
seen
you
lots
something.
Of people
you're
waste.
Lying. You're taking
no
your first
I've
day at work
tons of people,
and generalizing it.
Tons of people waste my time on this end. Tons of people.
How?
I've had so many recruiters tell me that they're not going to pass trash, and that's all they do is pass trash. So you'll spend an hour or two with these people telling them, here's what we need, here's what we don't need, and then you get what you don't need.
Because most of the time you want to be lied to.
Okay, well, let him answer, Alan, okay? He doesn't have much time left. You can take him apart on – you stick around for Jerry's show, and you can take him apart. I just want to hear what he's got to say.
Actually, my show is going to be, what did you learn this summer?
Okay,
awesome.
Good.
Yay.
Afternoon.
Yay.
No, it can't be Jerry, or you're not coming back on. That's my topic. You use your own head and come up with yours, okay?
That's your topic?
That's my topic. Your topic is reviewing what goes on the show, okay? And I'll press a button on your show whenever I want if I don't like what's happening there.
You want to go
okay.
on me?
Kirby.
I'm going to go ahead.
Kirby. Kirby.
Yo.
Kirby, please. You know, Jerry, just be quiet for a while, will you?
I will.
How, you're wrecking the show. I just want you to know it. You
am I wrecking the show, everybody?
Yes, you yeah. are. You are. Look
more
at the
animal.
Twitter. Look at the Twitter. Okay. Now, Kirby,
okay, I'm going to
look
on Twitter
to
see if I'm
wrecking
the show.
How the recruiters, how the third-party recruiters are wasting your time, how they convince you that they know what you, they understand what you're looking for, and then they're not able to supply suitable people.
That's basically it. I've worked with, I've been in Dallas for 6 months, worked with 15 to 20 agencies, and five of them were there when I started. We've essentially fired all five of them. And aren't using any agencies at this time because there's
Well, maybe you're not good at assessing agencies. Is that right?
Yes. Part of the question that I asked in the blog post was, is how would you go about assessing agencies when if you look at most websites, they all look the same?
No. That's a different question.
They
you
all,
made a point, and this is an interesting thing. You said if you go to the website of most agencies, they're just cookie-cutter garbage. I'll agree with that, just like every resume.
And
so
is,
not,
the, so is the sales pitch. So is the pitch.
That's why I don't have a website.
Okay, but you can ask questions. Well, you know what? Every resume is full of garbage as well. You get the guy on the line, he starts saying his stupid stuff, and then you start asking some questions. And then you know with the depth, with the 2 or 3 follow-ups, if he actually knows what he's talking about. Right, Kirby? And you're not doing that, are you? And maybe that's what the point Alan wanted to make in his own way.
Here's the thing, Kirby. Here's where, because I've done internal for 3 corporations and I've been a third-party recruiter. Here's where the rub is if you're willing to build the relationship, and if you, as on the inside, are really willing to build the relationship, you and I will have a profitable, successful.
Hey, I didn't ask you to make a speech, okay?
No. Hold on, Animal.
I'm already short of time. What's
okay,
your
really
point?
Quick. Build the relationship, because if what you're doing is coming from the perspective that you're talking to recruiters that are making those promises, if you set up the right expectations from the beginning and live by them, you will have successful vendors.
Sure, and but the problem is when I set up those expectations. So let me give an example. Out last week for 3 days working from home. Come to work, 22 messages. 20 of them are new vendors. 20 out of 22 messages on my phone are new vendors who want me to establish a good relationship to give them a shot at business with our company.
Uh-huh.
Tell me that there's not a potential So the question that I would ask to you then is, how do I, as HR guy in Dallas, say which of these 20 should I call back to establish that relationship? How deep into the relationship do I go with all 20 before I walk away from that relationship? That's the challenge.
I'll tell you.
So many people
out there. Tell them right now. Tell them right now in a nutshell.
I can't do it in a nutshell, Animal. I don't want to waste your time.
That's what this show's for. 1 hour of wasted time.
I'll wait.
You got 15 minutes left.
The short version is, you have to build the relationship. Well, take me. You and I build the relationship, and then you and I both make sure we manage your hiring manager's expectations. Because where I said you want to be lied to is when everybody signs up with vendors that say, "Oh yeah, we've got great people. We can get them to you in a couple of days." And the reality is, they can't. And if they say, "Look, I'll have them to you in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, 1 day, 2 days," and they're real about it, and then the hiring managers are, "Well, you know, it's been 24 hours. Where are my people? Why can't I wave a magic wand?" That's one of the big disconnects. And the other one is, you get what you pay for.
Sure, but I mean, I don't
have
to.
And if you want to go into it deeper, we can.
I'd love to, because it's definitely a challenge. But I don't have an issue with it.
At Kirby Call, contact him after the show. Although I understand his point, if you lay out very clear specs, I want, you know, a certain time frame, you know, this has to be in the resume. I don't know how you can, you know, you're filtering it out. I have to ask you, at the start, you're saying, this is what I need. As long as you're realistic, you should have reasonable results. But let me ask you something. Are hiring managers the stupidest people in the world? Because I talked about a hiring manager I was dealing with. I was dealing with HR recruiting, and then I was dealing with the VP, right, who was the hiring manager, and he gave me some specs, I filled it, I sent the people out there, and then it turns out he's not really calling the shots, it's the president calling the shots, so they got rid of me, because I wasn't bringing the right people that the president wanted, because I didn't know what the president wanted. What should I have done? I'm finding you guys on the inside are just confusing. And I don't know how to deal with it.
You should have asked them who the
deal breaker
is with.
Who's
the
decision maker? Who's the
decision maker?
Just like any other sales call, who's the decision maker, right?
Right.
So when they put me on with a VP, I have to challenge that. Is that right?
Yes. You ask who makes the final decision, and you have it on your intake form.
And, Kirby, what do
like
we do when the person, when you tell
me
you're
Let me finish my question. Okay, are you running the show? Kirby. Is that what I do? They put me on with a VP, or I'm talking with the VP, and then I say, "Look, pal, before we leave, are there any other contributors? Are you really the big man on this panel,
Definitely.
Or is somebody
Definitely.
Else going to overrule you?"
Definitely ask that question.
How would you put it?
I like the way you started that, until you said, "Are you the big man?" But are there any other contributors to the decision? I think that's a great way to pose the question.
No, hold on. I knew that he had to pass the person on to the president. And, in fact, my candidate that he wanted to hire, the VP wanted to hire, got passed on to the president. But then it turned out the president had a completely different job order.
Then
he
you
had
know
a
what
different
he did?
Fact.
You know what they did, Animal, and this happens to us, and we hold them accountable, is that they changed the parameters of the search in the middle of your search.
What do you mean
hold them accountable?
What does that mean? Just exactly how
in
do you do
words,
that, Kelly?
We have an intake form that they sign off on.
Okay,
and then
when it changes, how do you hold them accountable?
Well,
what does that mean?
Well, we have a different sort of business. I mean, we present them, let's say, with 5 qualified candidates, and we're saying, according to your parameters, these people were qualified. If you decide to change midstream, that's not our problem.
Okay,
right,
that's
so you're not really sticking through the full life cycle, which as
that's
a contingent
a
recruiter you are.
Right.
That's a retained
yeah, but personally,
search, Kathy. Oh, what, Kathy?
That's not even
Kathy,
a retained search.
Kathy,
that's name generation,
hey,
Animal.
Hey, that's a retained search. Am I right, Kathy?
It's not really retained
search.
No, it's name
not.
Sourcing,
it's
Animal.
It's sourcing. It is sourcing. And we give them 5 resumes.
Okay, it's different. I don't like how you're trying to show how much smarter you are than me when you're not doing the same thing.
Luckily, I pointed that out, Animal. Good thing he didn't mute me.
Personally, would not have hired you.
If you not
hired
you.
How about if I can try to listen to what Kirby's saying?
It's unfortunate that you got fired by a company because they changed the direction of the search. That's something I would never do. And if you look in the post, I say there's good agency and there's good corporate, and there's bad of both. And it sounds like you got stuck with somebody who was bad on the corporate side, who didn't defend the fact that that the search got shifted on you midstream. They should have given you a shot to keep going, and that happens sometimes.
Well, I had another one earlier in the summer. I was dealing with a very big company in their field, and I wanted to talk to the VP. He said, no, you have to work through my HR business partner, whatever her name was, and she seemed okay at first. I said, look, can you get these questions answered for me from the VP of the three most important things that he's looking for, the knockout questions I can ask people? And she said, well, I'll see. And she never got them answered. And then, so I had a struggle to figure out exactly what they wanted. All I had really was the job order. She didn't give me a good description of the job. And then one day she just stopped returning my calls.
You shouldn't have even started on that, Animal.
That's
I'm
right.
Talking to Kirby. I could talk to you all day long, Jerry. I'm talking to Kirby now.
I think that when you look for you want to find good clients, right? And I think the best recruiter that I know was never scared to fire bad clients. And if she couldn't
this
get the information she needed.
This is a billion-dollar company. That was a billion-dollar company.
Money doesn't make a good client. It's the information that you need to make your job search happen so that you can be a good partner makes a good client. And at some point, if you can't get that information, then you're doing yourself a disservice by sticking around and wasting your time.
Well, you know, I was talking to another corporate recruiter, and he told me he's working for a hiring manager who keeps pressing him to bring in new people, and then when he sends people in for an interview, she does her very best to discourage them from coming to the company. Do you ever have people, hiring managers like that?
Definitely have seen that, yes.
And what do you do with those guys, and what should I do with them?
Well, personally, as somebody on the inside, I sit in on those interviews. Now that I know who they are, once they've been identified, I sit in with them, and it definitely curbs the behavior.
And they let you? They let
you? How is that bad behavior, though? If you're working in an environment like a startup, for example, I like that my hiring managers are doing everything they can do to try and talk somebody out of an opportunity. Then we know they're committed, they're into it, they're in the right mindset. I like that, actually.
There's a difference between making somebody want the job, in my opinion, and disparaging the company.
That's playing games with it.
We would not play games with Jerry,
but it is the difference in thought process between a third-party recruiter and a corporate recruiter.
Yeah, corporate recruiter, you're playing games, and agency recruiters actually need to make it happen.
You want to make sure we have the right fit.
Look, Kirby, if you're one of the 5% of people in your situation that actually does what you're saying you do, then you're one of the few and the great. If you're one of the other ones that are filling out the reports and putting in process and doing throughput and being the gatekeeper that's not letting any gates open, then you're not.
When the philosophy that I've taken, even when it comes to manager contact, is talk to them. If you really want to get it done, talk to them, because anything that I filter through is going to come from my HR brain, which is probably going to miss something. So I've always been supportive of, as long as you play by the rules, which is resumes come through me, feedback comes through me, candidates come this way, you can talk to whoever you want. Doesn't matter, because you'll get the information you need to make a decision. And it's a shame that not everybody takes that view of it.
Because I think there's many people that are insecure about their professional situation, and they think that this makes me look bad, instead of saying, if I do this, this makes me look like a hero.
I have a friend who you can check with. Every time I call her, I'm like, look, make me look good. I don't care what we're paying you. Just make me look good and make sure that I look like I brought on the right person for the search. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
Okay, now you're saying that third-party recruiters, someone have a dog on the show? Get him off, will ya? Okay, now you're saying, Kirby, that third-party recruiters keep thinking that corporate recruiters have a lot of feedback to give them, but they don't really. You want to talk about that? Did you have trouble getting feedback from your hiring managers?
Definitely. I mean, you brought up having bad hiring managers who just change their mind midstream in terms of what they're looking for. When a hiring manager makes a decision, let's give them – they've got four interviews and four candidates, and we spent 2 days interviewing. Kirby, here's who I want to hire. And they move on. Their thought process is, okay, when are they starting? What are we going to do? Not, how can I help the other three people who didn't get this position, or how can I help the recruiting firm who submitted these people make a better submittal next time?
Okay, so, you know, when you're telling the recruiters to be humane and nice – you should be actually lecturing your own hiring managers. You're saying they're heartless and they don't give a hoot, right?
Oh, no. It didn't say heartless, not at all. But it's not their focus.
It's not ours either, I don't think. But you know
but,
what?
But here's the thing. I'll say a lot of third-party recruiters promise things that they cannot deliver. One of the things that I've seen tons of third-party recruiters promise is feedback. When most of the time they know up front that the client is not going to provide that feedback. I think it's all about setting fair expectations. And again, maybe I am part of a 5%, but
okay.
I tell third-party recruiters, I will get you what feedback I can, but it might not be much.
Okay, now look, here's the thing. Ed Newman was a guest on our show. Very smart guy, apparently. Everybody's given me good references on him.
Still don't like his Twitter name, though.
I don't like it either.
Newman,
okay. You know, you can be smart and be a social media zombie, not smart like us, okay? Now, he says, I spent the first 8 years of my career as a human resources generalist, and recruiting was always a big part of the job. I always felt that third-party recruiters were piranhas. He says, when I was first offered the opportunity, went in the opposite direction from you. When I was first offered the opportunity to work for a recruiting firm, it was just a tough decision. I spent my entire career fending off the headhunters, but the money was so good, I decided to take a chance. The experience opened my eyes to a whole new world. The real difference was the sense of urgency. Would you agree with him?
I think about a lot of it, yeah. I think it's unfortunate that he uses the word fending off. But yeah, it's a different world
urgency.
When you're on the third party side.
No, I wasn't asking you the vague thing. You see how you zero in on the it's a different world without specifying
mm-hmm.
what that meant? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Here's something else he said. He said, in an HR department, we sift through the resumes and only contact the candidates that we think might be a fit for the job. If there's 100 resumes, we filter them down to the top 10 and send auto reject notices to the other 90. Here's where I think he goes wrong. He says in a search firm, the candidates are the inventory. Every single candidate is contacted and categorized because you never know when you'll find a client with that very need. I don't think that's true.
I think.
What do you think?
Oh, I think there's a lot of recruiting companies, internal recruiters, who do not use their database for more than the job that the people applied to. For sure.
Okay, we're talking about something different. Okay, you got 3 minutes left. Do you want to make a speech about something that, you know, touches your heart that I haven't mentioned? Or
what are we talking about that's different? You said that the third-party recruiters call everybody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, internal
what do
recruiters
we do?
Don't. And I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. So you mean you've got bad inventory, talent management inventory. So if someone comes into your company and you can't use them for the job that you're looking for now, you don't put them someplace where you can call on them later. You don't talk to them. But you put them in your database. The keywords will bring them out if they're good in the future, right?
I subscribe to that mentality for sure. A lot of internal recruiters don't go to the database first.
Oh, okay. Why not?
Okay, let's talk about the unemployed.
Why not?
I don't know.
Why won't they go to the database? No, hold on. Talk about the unemployed on Jerry's show. Now, how come...
don't suggest topics for my show.
Because
okay.
for most, because
that's
for a
cool.
lot of internal recruiters, it's easier to post a job on Monster and wait for stuff to come in. And that's what a lot
You're
of...
You're kidding!
That's what you're talking about. Those 90 people who aren't being considered are who you're talking about today.
Who's calling in here and hassling me, okay?
That's
but,
right,
like, I got 1 minute left. I got 1 minute left. I wanna figure out what this kid's saying.
I've been waiting 59 minutes, animal. You gotta deal with your callers. This is Martin Snyder calling.
Okay.
I got an idea for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
My contribution after 59 minutes of this dribble? I'll tell you what it is, animal.
He should have spoken up earlier. Hey, this is another big shot, Kirby. PC
yeah.
Recruiter boss, the boss of PC Recruiter, Martin
awesome.
Snyder. He makes ATSs. Now, he wants to say something. I don't know what. He's incoherent. He's not on a landline. I don't know what he's talking about. But I want
Here
to ask
go,
you.
Animal. This is real simple. Somebody said it earlier. I don't know who said it, but they said it's just like another sales call. Recruiting is a sales discipline. It's a sales profession. And if you 100%. Want to connect. If you want to connect the unemployed to opportunities that they won't see, and if you freaking mail them a flyer about it, they still wouldn't respond. If a perfect candidate is looking at a perfect job on Monster Career Builder, nothing's going to happen unless a recruiter makes it happen. So the gap is recruiting. And if we teach people how to recruit and we lead people to understand that organizations are built by recruiters, then it becomes a different mindset of those 90 people who we're just dismissing right now.
You know what, Kirby? If this
Which is
guy
why
wasn't
I'm good at my
big
job.
Shot- If he wasn't a big shot already, I never would have given him those 2 minutes. Thank you for coming on!
Big breath, Gary.
Yeah, I like that guy, Kirby.
Yeah.
Kirby Cole.
Yeah.
Scrappy young man out changing the world. I like it.
Me too.
Let me make a note of who's here. Rayanne?
Yes, sir.
Me?
You?
I'm going to write me on my paper. I don't know what me. I'll have to put in parentheses Jerry. Kind of odd. Okay, who else?
Alan.
Alan.
Can you hear me?
Who's me?
This is Kirby. Should I hang up the phone and just listen?
Nah, you sure? Hang out. That's cool, Kirby.
All right.
Kathy's on.
Kathy Manis. C. Manis.
Future host of the after show.
Future host of the after show. We already we already got Ray Ann. And then Mike A. Stringer. Mike, I thought you would have chimed in a little bit more on the startup stuff.
You know what? I had a lot to say, actually, but I was busy working and couldn't really get to it. But I especially like what Kirby had to say about dealing with third-party recruiters, since I deal with those frustrations all the time.
Man, I'm surprised, and I've got a few friends in HR, and they tell me that any one day they might have a dozen agencies call. I would think after a while, wouldn't it be the same agencies calling back? I mean, do they – tell us a little bit more about that, either Kirby or Mike. I mean, what's the story on agencies calling you? What do they say? How often do they call?
Yeah.
Well, so I have a couple
of – go ahead.
I have a couple repeat offenders who I know that call all the time.
Do you ever call them back?
No. Honestly. I mean,
it's just so horrible, Jerry, is that two companies in particular, MRI for one, so you buy an MRI franchise, they don't give you a protected territory, so you get calls from MRI recruiters all over the country who are just trampling on each other's backyards. The other one is RHI Consulting, whatever they're called now, RHIT or whatever they are. It seems like every 2 weeks or every month when they have a new batch of recruiters go through,
you're on their
list. Those recruiters are marketing to you. And I had a really good relationship with a recruiter at RHI who was making placements at my company. And every 2 or 3 weeks, I'd get calls from a new recruiter at RHI. And I ended up calling up and yelling at the branch manager one day and saying, you know what? You're an effing idiot, and you're pissing me off. I've got a good relationship with one of your recruiters. Stop having your new idiots call me.
And they have multiple different brands, so then they have to call.
I'll tell you something that happened recently. It's very funny. I got a call yesterday from a client of mine that is a personal friend who started a company a couple of years ago. I've been helping him for free, and he's finally to the point where he's paying me for my help. So a recruiter called him and just started bashing me, not knowing me, a thing about me, what I was doing, who I was, just going on and on and on about how she can do so much better. And, you know, this guy's laughing. He's like, this dude's a friend of mine. I never take that approach to marketing. I'll never put down, if I call you and you tell me you have a vendor list, or you tell me you're happy with who you're working with, that's cool. Do me a favor. Keep my number. If something happens, give me a call. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why we have to be out there bashing each other.
But what?
It's not that it's how they're taught.
But how many times do these people call if you never return their call? Do they just keep calling you, what, every week, every couple of days, every month?
Can I tell you something, Jerry? I have a phone number that I don't use, and I swear this is a true story. I went to check the voicemail on that phone number a few months ago before I disconnected the number.
Yeah.
I had a call once a week for like 3 months from the same salesperson over and over and over again. I think that's how most recruiters are.
Yeah, because a lot of them are driven by call numbers, right?
To turn in their call sheets at the end of the week, right?
That's right, they do. And you want another company is Stride & Associates that owns 6 different consulting firms, and what you'll get is Mike will get a call from one company today at 8 a.m. to do business, and then about 3 hours later, they'll get a call from another company to poach them out. And when somebody approaches them, aren't you doing this? Like, oh, we're not related. So
here's
kind of
my favorite one, though, and I realize I don't think anyone else here is in the RPO space, but, you know, all of my advertising, my website, everything makes it very clear that we're an RPO firm. I love it when I get calls from other RPO firms, and I probably get them about every couple of weeks. Like, you know what? Before you market that you can do a great job filling my software engineer role, why don't you take a look at who I am and what I do?
Good stuff. So Kirby, when you tell an agency, we don't need you, thanks anyway, do they call you back like a month later?
Yeah,
I mean,
month,
or is that usually
month,
the end
two
of
months.
It?
No, they call back. Most of them here, you know, you can say, I'm never one to say we have a list because I don't think that's just not true. We don't have a list that we only call for. I just say we don't have anything for you right now, and then they'll call back.
But, Kirby, let me ask you this question, because having been internal and external, how do you address the following? Is you don't have a list, I get that. The ones that do have a list, I would say only 5% of the vendors actually do good work. On the other hand, you do have – they call back the hiring managers, they call back you, and simply through determination, they build a relationship with a hiring manager who at some point gives them a chance, and they actually prove themselves, and then they build a relationship.
I'd work with you in a heartbeat. Those are the only ones, that's really what matters. It's not about, I'll be honest, it's more about your relationship with the hire manager and serving what they need, because that's what's going to make me look better. So, again, we always tried to facilitate those conversations if we could, lunches, and I mean, because that meant that if you had the relationship, you knew what the person was like, who they'd want to work for them, who they'd want to work with, that sort of stuff.
Well, then maybe you're one of the 5%, because every time when I was internal and I did that same thing, the vendors that you know, kind of followed the rules of engagement, I had no problem with them. And I said, go for it. Talk to the managers. But when I go in sometimes and the HR person tells me the same thing, it's like, great, I understand the rules of engagement, and I do that. And then 2 days, 1 week, 2 weeks down the line, hey, why are you talking to the manager? It's like, because you said to do that and to keep you in the loop, you're getting the CCs. And all of a sudden, something changes. And that situation happens more than I'd like to – and my colleagues say the same thing. It's very interesting. So anyway, I sent you a thing. Give me a call.
Sure.
but it sounds like you might be one of the 5%. If you are, that's phenomenal. And
I think we're making a love match here. I'm
love it up.
Loving it.
Hey, beer and pretzels at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Rayanne, would you? That's all right. Give us 2 scores for the show today. I don't care what they're based on. I just need 2 scores.
Okay, 75 and 82.
All right. Mike, 2 scores. They can be based on anything.
Game today, I'm going to give him a 70, and I'm going to give the guest an 80.
All right. Kathy Manis, are you still there?
I am.
How have you been, Kathy, before we get to the scores? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Good.
It's interesting, though. I was a corporate recruiter for 7 years with Sodexo, and we never used outside vendors. So I'm just having a hard time grasping that. I guess that's a common practice? Is it? Okay, because we just didn't. I mean, we would be looked at as the corporate recruiter as not doing our job. So,
and you filled every job ever?
Yes, we had to. I mean, even the very, you know, even the executive level jobs, we had to.
I would still think that there's a time here or there where you would use an agency, wouldn't there be?
We didn't. I swear to God, we never.
Seriously?
Did. Seriously.
That's crazy.
I'd ask on that one is, did you guys get paid additional and bonusable for your services or no?
We got bonuses on like time to fill, diversity, customer satisfaction surveys.
Okay.
You got paid a bonus for diversity candidates?
Yes. Well, if we hit our diversity goals, there would be a goal within diversity.
That makes me sad.
Well, you know, that's corporate America. I mean, it's OSCCP. Yeah. You know, blame it on them.
Yeah, but Jerry, you're a minority now.
Not yet. I think we've got a few more years.
Oh. Okay. But anyway, so I just, when you guys talk like that, I just have never experienced it. So I was just curious. But anyway, I think it was a really good show. I'd have to give it 85 and 85.
Okay. Alan, could you give us a two scores today.
Yeah, 76 and 84.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun. It was good meeting him, learned some stuff. It was nice to meet Kirby and Art and learn a little bit. It was great. It was good. I think Kirby got his caffeine on after a little bit longer, which was really good.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. That's right. You're still.
Yeah, we did. We didn't get rid of him.
We didn't dismiss him.
No, it's okay.
Where have the resume people from Columbus, Ohio been lately? Jeremy and his mom.
Janice.
Yeah.
Jeremy,
oh, yeah. Where are they? Yeah.
Jeremy's baby came early.
Oh boy.
Early.
Well, we were part of the first crowd to find out about that. Remember?
I was just thinking that, Jerry. We were in that Christmas party. Remember?
Yeah,
we
man.
Were.
I was like,
yeah.
Why?
You weren't
wasn't
wearing
it that
shirt,
day?
Right?
Did he just find out just then or something?
He
or?
Did find out while we were on the line.
Yeah.
I think he did.
He did.
Wow. That's wow. That's amazing.
You know what? He got to find out he was having a baby, see me without a shirt, and Rayanne with a gun and a glass of wine all on the same call.
That was the craziest virtual party I've ever been to.
It was fun. We have to
and trust me, I've been to a lot of them around the world.
Hey, how was your party this weekend, Jerry?
It was unbelievable.
Did your band play?
No, we had an acoustic guitar player guy play.
Oh, cool.
The dude was awesome. He was great. And then we just played loud music till like 3 in the morning. Spotify is the coolest ever.
I love Spotify. It is the coolest.
Any song anybody wanted to hear, bang, we were playing it. 2,000 watts out in the country, as loud as you could get it. We had a rocking dance floor. Well, everybody, thanks for calling the Animal and Jerry Show. And
I guess Dave Manister didn't hang on to give a score or anything, huh?
He's a busy guy. He runs a startup.
He runs a startup?
He's hiring college grads and training them left and right.
There you go.
Is he doing it because that's what he needs or because they're cheaper?
That's
all right, Kirby, any regional AS400 guy or gal, hook me up.
And Jerry.
Yes, Alan. Yes, Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I just wanted to say, since I know you love to stalk me on Facebook, Jerry, look for pictures on Monday. I'll be taking my new motorcycle down to Bike Week in Wildwood, so the pictures of me in leather should be pretty good.
Okay, fantastic. How about leather with no shirt, man, on your bike for Rayanne?
I may do that.
please.
Have a great rest of the week, everybody. We'll see you
Bye,
all around.
Everybody.
Thanks, Kirby.
You too. Bye.
Have a good one.